The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Is the 22nd of July, 2017, and here's a bunch of stuff we're going to do. Before I start everything out, there's two things I've been doing every show, and if you've been watching Gary Clark and a number of other people, I start out, I tell people you can stand up, take a deep breath, and say, I am a winner, I am a champion. Now, I've been saying this stuff through the years constantly, but I've been hammering on it the last month almost, and I can tell you, yeah, you have good and bad days, but I got to tell you, the majority of, besides other things I say to myself, this is what's circulating in my head now. You keep doing things like that type of self-talk, your life is going to only change for the best. So think about that. Also, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and look at our brand new product called the Winner Circle. This is 12 modules, okay, that have 15 years of development here at FBC and M&M. And these are the 12 that I'm going to sell you that will change your life, believe me. The first module is called The Beginning. The second one is called Getting Started. The third is Mental Fortitude. Four is Sandbag Domination. Five is Heavy Specialization with Shoulder Pressing and Bent Rows. Number six, Passion for What You Love. Number seven, Hands-On Training. Number eight, Big Powerful Arms. Number nine, High Shrugs and Straight Arm Pullover. Number 10, The Return of Iron Boots. And if you haven't listened to the John Bruni show that I put up yesterday, we hit on some of the things I'm doing here with the Iron Boots. You want to build your hip girdle. There's a movement called, I call it the swing. And when you do these, it looks like a pendulum with your leg, front, back, front, back. You want to talk about something that will open your hips and have you exploding weight either off the ground or on your shoulders? Listen to that, I'm telling you. And I'm going to talk today, as soon as I get done with this, about a product called Sand Dune. Wait till you hear this. Number 10, like I said, the Return of the Iron Boots. Number 11, Strong Stone Strength. Number 12, Love, Passion, and My Power Rack. Now, when you buy the Winner's Circle program, you get module number 13 free called Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. Now, here's five big points on that module alone. Learning what the true definition of honor stands for. Where have all the men gone? And I, with the two great women I'm going to bring in shortly, I'm going to ask one of them that I've never asked, and the other one I have, but I'm going to ask her again because it's been 2 weeks and maybe it's changed again. And why you should test yourself constantly, why strength is the foundation of your life, and why not stand out, stand apart, and lead the world. And then we have the 8 for 8. These are 8 men and women that have given an hour of their time for free when you purchase the Winner's Circle. Martin Janzix, David Whitley, Douglas Graham, Dr. William Wong, Clint Darden, Paul Firepower Gray, Frank Delventhal, and none other than my pal Kirsten Tulick, who's going to be on with us with Kelly Manzoni very shortly, as soon as I get through here. So, take action right now, stomp out old age, become a winner, and keep rolling. And I got news for you, we're going to have massive video about everything on here, and I'm going to be adding more and more modules, because this is going to be a product with everything I'm doing here. It's going to keep growing, and I'm doing massive stuff that we don't even have on there, so stay tuned for more. Also, too, contributions, where you can go right out to Fiorello Barbell Co., and you'll see contribute. Just click on there. You'll go right into the page. Now, before we even start with that, if you want to just go by whatever you can afford, you go out to my PayPal account at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. Buy me a week's worth of raw milk, lunch, coffee. I don't care. but whatever you can afford and you want to give to a lifetime investment, I would really appreciate. Now, when you contribute $25, you get the first module off the winner's circle, the beginning, for free. If you'd like to learn how to obliterate obstacles, become success manifested, overcoming roadblocks, and the power of optimism, that's yours. When you give $50, you get the beginnings and you get a half an hour free consultation with me, and we'll go over anything, and I will not cut you off at $29.59 on the hour. When you contribute $100, you will get the beginning, and you'll get 2 half-hour free consultations with me. There's no bullshit here. Everything that's out there I've done, I will not release or put out any phony baloney. If you've been listening to us, we'll be up 3 years the end of September of this year. By now, I think you got a feel for who and what I am. So help us out. We appreciate anything you can do. And you know something? When you do things like that and you invest in us and yourself, you can't help but build strength, valor, and character. If those things are important to you, welcome and come on board. Well, as I said, well, one other thing. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and just go out and look at the number of podcasts I've got. As I said, Kelly Manzoni and I have done one podcast, and we introduce whomever comes on here. Kirsten, I think, between the three ways and she and I, she's probably up to now 4 or 5 with me. So gradually, you know, obviously we're building a bigger and bigger vault with whether it's men or women here. But you know my feeling about people. As I told both women who were on with me before we came on live, it doesn't matter who you are here. You got something to contribute. You want to be part of this empire, this revolution. I want you here. You know, we are family here, and I mean that. That's an Italian thing, too. That's just me. That's how I was brought up. That's the way it is. So go out there and check all that out. But like I said, we got two of the biggest women here, in my opinion, but they'll probably say, I don't know what I'm talking about, in the strength genre. And, you know, they all do some of the same things and different. And I'm not going to get into this stuff where this, that, and the other thing. We'll let them, you know, clarify anything I miss. But I'm going to introduce Kelly Manzoni first. Number one, she's a personal trainer, kettlebell instructor, and a vintage strength coach. So, Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me again.
You are welcome. Now, I'm going to go to Kirsten next. But anything I missed, websites, anything like that, give that out, and I'll go right to Kirsten after that, please.
Oh, sure. I'm on Instagram as kettlebells88. My website is kmmove.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, Kelly Manzone.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Okay. So welcome to the show. Kirsten, my friend, I'm going to give your, bodybuilder, power lifter, kettlebell queen, and the mace trainer known as Little Tank. Welcome to the show, Kirsten. It's great to have you back.
Well, Eric, my big shot of testosterone, how the hell are you?
Hey, what did I say when I sent you that note yesterday? As they say in the AC/DC tune, we got the biggest balls of them all.
Oh, yes.
Anything I missed, please add up, and I'll introduce what we're going to talk about, and we'll be all over. But anything I missed, please add it on.
Cool. Not just everyone can find me on Facebook. You know, either just type in my name, Kirsten Tullock, or my nickname, Little Tank, and you'll see a chick with blue hair and a mace, and that is me. If you go to Instagram, again, my name on there is Little Tank. Just type that in. Same again, blue hair, mace, that's me. I'm also on Twitter, but I don't use that very often. I've got a YouTube account. Again, Kirsten Tullock or Little Tank, and my face will pop up. Usually mostly contactable through Facebook. I'm on there a lot, and
yep.
People will 99.9% get a hold of me through there.
Well, I don't know if I told you the reason why my brother liked you so much. I don't know if he read it, or I think you when you were on the show, I don't know if we were talking about push-ups or something, and whatever you said, my brother, because he said he was having problems with his shoulders with push-ups, and he changed it, and he said, tell Kirsten she's the greatest, man. He goes, because now I have nothing through my shoulders. So, see, big brother couldn't help him out. You had to take over.
Nice work, girl.
See, that's why I keep you around, you know what I mean? You know, that's why. Without a doubt. We're gonna probably be all over, but you've heard me say this probably for the last year, where I'll say dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path, and I say that at the end of the show as we're going out the door. And I suggested this to both ladies here, and they were fine with it. And you know the way we are here, things morph all over the place, but I just wanted to have something. I could have come up with whatever we wanted to do, but I thought it was a great way to bring the three of us all together here. Kelly, I'm going to start with you. Sure. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. What would that mean to you when you went out and read that or heard that for the first time?
For me personally, it kind of resonated with sometimes when life throws something at you. Like when I on the last podcast, I explained to you about how I got really sick for three years.
Yep.
And during that time, you know, my husband's family business closed. He was unemployed, and I, and I'm a mother. So
yep.
I had to basically, during a time when my body was 100% compromised, I had to go and support my family and fight through illness. And I have this thing with me, like when I'm very driven.
Yep.
And when it's time to buckle up and go, I'm going to fucking buckle up and I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've had, you know, and I told you before when I spoke to you last time, I was completely on my own at the age of 17.
Yeah.
So I've had to always make my own mistakes and pick myself up and go. Fail, try, keep going, succeed. And
that,
so that's kind of like what it resonated with me when you gave that topic. I was like, it's just life, you know, and if you're going to, you got to do it. You got to get up and you got to go.
Yeah. Okay. Kirsten.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, because I love it when you say that at the end of each show, you know, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. So I kind of broke it down into sections, and I made little notes here. So, like, for dominate, what does that mean to me? Okay, to me, that means you need to exert your authority in your chosen field. You're not just good, you're the fucking best.
Yep.
You know, so you want to raise the bar and set the standard by which you want to be seen, you know. So domination is, you know, is about, you know, just again exerting your authority. So I think everyone who listens to this, whatever part of the strength or physical culture game they are in, a lot, you know, most people here will have something that they are choosing to excel at or specialize in, and you don't just do it because it's kind of fun.
Yeah,
you do it because you want to dominate at it. You want to excel. You don't just want to do well. You want to do fucking well. It's like you're going to go, you're raising the bar right up.
Yep.
For obliterate, you know, if you look at the definition of that in the dictionary, you know, the definition is to destroy, wipe out, demolish, decimate, eliminate. It's like in this context that we're talking about with regards to physical culture, obliteration is like you want to obliterate weakness and negative behaviors, you know. So we could talk about obliterating the competition if we were in the competitive field, you know, but really that's going to happen by right of domination. You know, when you dominate, you automatically get rid of the competition.
Yep.
So I think, you know, for this context, obliterate would really be to manage negative behaviors and really remove them from your life, you know, because so many people are making lame-ass excuses all the time.
Yep.
So if we can obliterate those excuses and just kick them to the curb, take ownership of them and say, okay, we're not needing those anymore. Let's put them in that box over there and let's be more positive.
Yep.
So that's kind of my view on the obliterate section of your statement. It's like we're kicking to the curb the stuff that doesn't serve us.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then when, you know, when you say the part, dent everything in your path.
Yep.
Leave your mark.
Yep.
Make your presence felt long after you have left the room. Okay.
Yep.
And again, that stems from domination.
Yeah.
So if those who dominate light the way for everyone else coming behind them.
Oh, I agree. You know? I'll tell you what. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, you know, when I came up with that, you know, I was just thinking one day, you know, what's going to make me excel? What's going to make me think when I, you know, and I came up with those words, but you know, the way I was looking at it was like this. It was like, you see like these earth movers and they go through the ground, man, like there's just nothing standing in front of them. And that's the way I equated me to doing things. It's like, leave nothing in your path, man. It's like you said, bad habits, shit thinking, get rid of it, man. Because all these things, you know, we don't realize, you know, it's like even Kelly and Kirsten and Eric here, we deal with a lot of things. And it does, you know, I'm not even going to get into specifics, all right? But we're all capable of getting a lot of junk in our heads, too, and maybe even more so because I think a lot of us are very cerebral in a lot of ways. And when your passion is driving you, and you know, as I always say, it's like the hammer to the anvil all the time, you need something, you need a phrase sometimes, you know, like, Gary Clark, you know, which he's an incredible disabled strongman. Uh-huh. He sends me a note. You probably saw it. You know, I am a winner. I am a champion. You know, this stuff is resonating with people because you might hear it, but you don't hear it a lot, where we are just hammering it right through the floor now. And that's why I say dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Because, you know, Kelly, I, Kirsten and I were going through last night. I'm not going to get into all the subject things, but I was saying to her, you know, and she was saying to me, what we do at times because of our personalities, and I'm going to ask you this next question. At times, we can kind of be out there on that raft by ourselves. And sometimes it can be uncomfortable, you know, and you're out trying, well, I don't even use that word, trying. You're out doing everything you can do to succeed with one, two, three, sometimes more things that you want to get to, make your goal. And then I said to Kirsten last night, I said, you know something? Sometimes the best thing you can ever do with that is just, whether it's your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you know what? You just wrap your arms around that person and you don't say a word. Because if you're really tuned in, and so is the guy or gal, you're speaking volumes without saying a word. And I think for me, without sounding like a real sappy-ass dude, that works better for me than anything if that's the way I'm feeling. But comment on that, and then Kirsten will go right to you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, we can tread a really lonely path in this game.
Yep.
You know, because we're not part of the masses.
Yep.
You know, when you're part of the sheep, you know, you're part of a crowd. So, yep. I mean, you know, you don't stand out from anything. You don't really stand for anything either when you're part of the crowd. You know, but you've got this massive support network. You know, it's now, okay, it doesn't really mean much because it's all a bunch of sheep and they don't really mean anything of substance.
Right.
But you've got people around you, whereas us, we're part of a minority.
Yep.
You know, and we always have been, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I mean, I was a bodybuilder for years. I mean, man, that's like the most minority sport on earth.
Absolutely.
And always will be. Yep. You know, so you have to have a real strength of character when you get involved in anything like that, because you're never going to be, you know, one of the in crowd or, you know, one of the normal people, you know, quotation marks around that one, because you're always seen to be being different.
That's okay.
You know, so but it's a good way to be. You know, it requires strength of character, but you know, I guess having to stand alone develops more character as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the older you get, the better you get at this stuff.
Yep.
You know,
Kelly, take
it away.
Doesn't
make it any less lonely.
No, I know.
It makes you better at it.
I think so too, Kelly.
Yeah.
I agree. And you know, Kirsten and I touched on this the other day, and when we spoke this morning. You know, in the industry, and sometimes depending on where you live, you could be a little bit of an outsider within the crowd. You know, I say it often, I think outside the box, but I work inside the box.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Kirsten pointed out about the support group, you know, I rely a lot of that on that sometimes because as I approach and I grow, and especially within the industry, you know, it's been 15 years and I'm looking ahead and I'm learning from the people around me and, the, you know, looking forward to next weekend with Paul.
Yeah.
You know, it's a continuous process of growth. And sometimes you find yourself in an area that's stagnant.
Oh, and, yeah.
It's tough, you know, so it's tough being in a stagnant area and you find yourself like, oh, but you have this drive and you are connecting with other people. And it's about, you know, we talked about this before. It's about the relationships that you start forging with people. And then that's how, you know, you're right. Sometimes you don't need the words. You just need to kind of, like, embrace.
Yeah.
And I think I have that with the connection that I have with Kirsten and with Paul and yourself and numerous others. Like, if we were actually in person, just glancing at each other, I think we'd just get it, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I totally agree with you because I told Kirsten if we were together, probably we'd burn the woods down or something. You know what I mean? Something crazy would happen. So, no, and I like that because, see, right now I think in the times we're living, I mean, there's a lot of good things. But Paul and I did a show on this, and then Paul, Kirsten, and I had done a show where there is a disconnect. In society, right? Go ahead. Comment on that. Go ahead.
I couldn't agree more. You know, and based on what you guys spoke about, and also what you know, Kirsten and I have spoken about, and with Paul, there's a disconnect from, you know, putting out content that's attainable,
yep.
That has purpose, that has, you know, a foundation. And I think about this all the time. I think we've gotten away from why we're moving. And why it makes us feel a certain way.
Yep.
And it's solely focused on numbers, money, looking a certain way, and we're missing the point, you know? It's supposed to be sustainability.
Yep.
Longevity, attainability, and so much more. And, you know, like having people that are passionate movers like Paul and Kirsten and like yourself, you have the things that you gravitate towards, whether the tool is a kettlebell or a sandbag. But it's the foundation and the purpose is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, there's just so much out there where we're getting caught. People are, like, on a hamster wheel, like,
yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Day in and day out. And they're missing the point of, like, you know, what this is all really about. And then the side, the butter, like, the best part about it is the people that you get to connect with. We're living in times where we're getting more disconnected as technology.
Yep.
Continues. I mean, how many people walk around now not making eye contact or holding a door or you know, you could go on and on about that. So when you are in a culture, like we're saying physical culture, and people
yep.
are hands-on, they're passionate, they're driven it,
yep.
and they have the knowledge and they share it, it's so nurturing. And that's what's needed right now, I think, within the industry.
I think it's needed in the world, too, because
yeah,
I'll tell you, and Kirsten, I'm going to go right to you, but I want to make this comment. I can tell you this, there's a massive disconnect, and I might get into this in the show a little bit today, but I found a product that, through Dr. Bob Weil, who's on here, and he's podiatric medicine, so it's all feet, and he's worked with some of the biggest athletes in the world, and he approached me on this product called the Sand Dune, and the best way to describe this is you're on this with both feet. It's got a low and an incline on the other end. It literally feels like you are marching through sand, or one of the better ways to even describe it, if you've ever had the ability to sleep on a Tempur-Pedic bed, it feels like that under your feet. Now, he sent me one on the house, the owner, to try it out. I've had it not just 2 weeks. My feet already, and I've never had foot problems, but I've put a lot of load on them. You know, sometimes your toes get stiff, all that. It's phenomenal what is happening to my feet and the people that he is working with. I'm talking Alzheimer's. I'm talking the veterans and the VAs. I talked to Matt yesterday, the owner. John Bruni already bought one. Eric Gutman is in the process. And he's running a big thing with money off. But he and I think, are going to be doing some major stuff with this because, with you know, the first thing he said, Bob told me you're the stone lifter. I said, like many. He said, well, we're going to do some stuff, and I'll get into that in another show. But what I want to tell everybody is this: when we talk to Disconnect, how heavily I get involved, we're going to find out in the next probably 72 hours with this product. And I really want it because I totally believe in it. And I believe the recovery you can do to your body is unreal.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to do something that people have lost. I'm not putting any more money, probably, or very minimum, in both websites because of some of the things that I want to change. What I'm going to do, and this is going to be an experiment because I'm going to be doing this with a number of things I've been approached upon. If you want to get into the sand dune and I'm going to be the connection, the mat, I'm going to give you a phone number, my own private number, and you can call me and we'll discuss it. And from there, I'll point you how to purchase the product, or if you're not still sure, how you can speak with Matt, and then you can go from there with Matt. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, whether it works or not, I'm going to get rid of this disconnect, at least through motivation and muscle, if there's a disconnect, because I think it's more important now, especially when you're laying out money on stuff, to speak to somebody. Everybody's, well, I just want to skip to the website and all that. Yeah, that's great. But then when it's not what you want and it comes to your door, then you got problems again. So we're going to see if my little experiment's going to work, and we're going to go from there. But Kirsten, you know, you can comment on any of that or whatever you want, and we'll just keep rolling.
Yeah, I was thinking about what Kelly said as well about, you know, how a lot of the stuff on social media is just so not attainable by the masses.
Yep.
And as she was talking there, you know, the thing that jumped into my head was the almighty fuck up that is CrossFit. You know, that is just, it really is.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
Like every time you look at these goddamn workouts, you know, and it's like kipping pull-ups. I mean, who the hell came up with that? That's
no
shoulder
shit.
Surgery in a can.
Yep.
It's like, what kind of joke is that? So you look at all these things that are CrossFit, you know, originated, and you look at all these people that now have ridiculous injuries.
Yeah.
But sadly, so many people are wearing these injuries like badges of honor.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's wrong with these people? It's like, if you're injured, you are injured. That means you have done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean you've done something right. It means you've done something wrong. And that's something, you know, you are being trained wrong, you are being taught wrong, you are being fed the wrong knowledge. And yet people are taking it and they're wearing it. And you just look at this cult, it's just everywhere. And I find it really frustrating, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I was a CrossFit coach a long time ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that with pride, trust
right.
me. I mean, I felt bad about it after I did it.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking from experience. I just think it's absolutely horrendous. And I think the stuff that gets put on social media with the workouts that these people do, that is the most unattainable, unhealthy thing that has ever been put out there in physical culture, in my opinion.
No,
and
I agree.
To me, that stuff needs to be quashed. It just needs to be put to bed. And I don't know how long it will take, but I certainly hope it does happen. So it's like, right now, there's more and more kind of outside-the-box, unconventional people coming to the fore, like me, Kelly, Paul Firepower Greg, Jim Romig, you know, people like us that are putting content out there and being noticed,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the right reasons.
Yep.
You know, like you were telling me earlier about your brother thinking I'm great now because we covered the, the push-up, you know.
Right.
So now he can do that well and he's not in pain. Brilliant.
Yep.
That means he's now doing something right and he's going to live a better, happier life with less pain, you know, and that is good. So I think more people like us that step forward and are willing to put ourselves out there, then it can only be a good thing. And hopefully that will balance out the discord between what is on social media right now. You know, maybe if more of us step forward with good content, we can start to tip the scales in our favor and away from the horrendous shit that is stuff like CrossFit.
Yeah, and you know, go ahead, Kelly, go ahead.
It's just in your town, you know, like you don't even need to step into social media. It's everywhere,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You look at the area that I live in, Fairfield County, where people could afford to spend a lot of money on their, you know, their training.
Yeah.
Or where they're going to go work out. And it's like, you know, crazy Soul Cycle classes where they're dancing all over the bike and, you know, throwing their arms around with, you know, 2 or 3 pound weight while their legs are going and they're up and they're down and they're, you know, like,
yeah.
And these people, like, you know, push themselves and, you know, doubling up on Orange Theory classes. It's just like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
you know, like, what's sad is that most of the people don't want to spend the time on just building the foundation so that they're capable. Or, you know, like, having the mobility first, then the stability, and then working on their strength. Like, they just want to skip over everything.
Yep.
And it's like, and you don't even have to be on social media to see it. If you're, you know, you're just like in your town, walking around, watching how people are moving. You know, everybody in Westport walks around in Lululemon. You can judge sometimes what they do just by the way they're walking. By
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you know what the thing is, too, though? I like video, don't get me wrong. But one of the reasons why I didn't do a ton of video for the Winner's Circle is this. The normal response is always going to be, let's skip and watch the video. Now, you hit it right on the head there, Kelly, where they're doing this, that, the other thing, and they're probably not getting any results whatsoever. And the thing is, if you're not educated and you're not learning and you're not building the basics, the foundation, you're not going to ever achieve anything. But the point of this is, none of these trainers or these fly-by-night clubs are ever going to tell anybody that, because the idea here is, let's get what we can get out of them, squeeze them as hard as we can, and chances are, you know what I would love to see? I'd love to see a statistic on their rate of, like, we'll just say, like, graduates, where they, you know, and I guarantee you, it is horrible. It, you know, I would say you'd probably be lucky if you had 3% graduating from all the years they've done this, all right? And this is why, you know, I hear people, they'll come over here or they contact me. It's like, well, I hope it's not like the other stuff. And I said, why don't you just park your car in front of my house and take a jaunt up 95 feet and start looking about halfway up? You're going to know right away that this isn't some clown club. And if anything, it might make you turn around and get back in your car because you'd be frightened when you see everything. So you know, perception is a big thing. Obviously, the both of you have personality. That is probably the biggest thing. How many people do you meet in this damn field that, look, guys and girls, let's face it, we've looked at enough Facebook. You know, if I see another guy with his pants half down or another girl with her pants half down, or there's one in particular, I won't name her name, where every shot they do is down the front of her implants, you know, come on, will you? And then you get pissed off when people – look – then you get mad. I'll go right to you. But you know what I mean? Then you get mad when people are making comments. Now, look, nobody's got a right to say shit to you. But if you're going to put stuff out like that, you've got to believe men and women are going to take notice, all right?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So if that's all you're selling, like I told Kirsten one day, maybe you got a 6 month to a year and a half shelf life and we'll never see you again. And thank God for that. And one last comment, I'm going to go right to you, Kirsten, is this. The hypocrisy of CrossFit is unbelievable, because I'm sure you both know, I know it has to be at least 2 years now, ESPN kicked World's Strongest Man off because they were all steroid users. Whether they all are or not, I don't really give a rat's ass. But if you know, in the last year and a half, or last year, look at all the CrossFitters that were busted with anabolic steroids, all right? Uh-huh. So let's be honest about this. It's the beautiful people that they're selling. You know, when you look at a guy like Half Four or Zvickis, you know, they're not real pretty, all right? And let's face it, they want ratings. They want people to spend lots of money, much more than they were would on WSM. And I think the biggest thing about CrossFit, as with WSM, more of the masses can equate to what they're doing. They might never be able to do a power clean in their whole life, but you know what I mean? It's the marketing.
Yeah.
That's where they're king.
Yeah.
They know how to market their product. That's the only thing I'll give them an A with. Kirsten, take it away. Take it.
Yeah, they absolutely do know their marketing. I mean, it's a massive business. At the end, you know, it's a multi-million dollar industry, and the guy at the top of it is laughing all the way at the bank. Really,
sure he is.
You know, and he's the only winner out of all of this, really. And obviously, you've got some people that run, you know, very established boxes, as they call themselves, that are, you know, making a lot of money out of it as well.
Yep.
You know, but you know, I mean, I don't know how a lot of these people can sleep at night, you know, because there's no integrity in that at all. And I'm sure some boxes are good. You know, some boxes, I have no doubt, you know, there's people working in them that really care, that really give a damn. Yep. But there's an awful lot of them that don't. And this is a true story, right? I used to live in New Zealand. And I had my own facility over there, and there was a CrossFit across the bridge from where I was, and it was common knowledge over there that this particular facility had an ambulance outside their door at least twice a week.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Straight up, I shit you not, at least twice a week.
Yeah.
They had an ambulance out there.
Yeah.
Now, I had one of their members come to me, and I knew that she was spying for them, right? So she came into my place, and she was a really sweet lady. And she came in and told me that she trained at their CrossFit, and she was moving over to my side. And I was like, you're a spy, but you come.
Yeah.
Anyway, she came in. Now, her hands were wrapped, like bandaged.
Yep.
And I said, what have you done to your hands? Oh, it's kipping pull-ups. It's okay. Oh. And I said, no. Let me see your hands. She took off the bandages. Her hands were raw.
Yeah.
Oh.
I swear to God, I'd never seen anything like this before in my life. I said to her, what the hell have you done? You can't train with your hands like that. I said, you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
They need to be dressed and, you know, properly dressed and cleaned. Oh, no. My coach said, you know, that means I've done the kipping pull-ups, right? She said, a lot of the people there have that.
Yep.
And I said, you're kidding me. And that was really when I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, and it was like this light bulb moment for me. It's like I've joined the army of Muppets by actually doing, you know, their certification. And I said to this woman, you know, I turned her away. I said, you can't train until your hands heal. I said, that's just, you're asking for trouble. I said, you want my advice, get yourself to the hospital right now, get them dressed, and do not touch a weight until they have healed. You cannot train until your hands have healed. And she left, but I was, I was stunned. And they were telling her that was fine. And she wasn't the only one in their facility like that. And I just thought, damn.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, there are really good boxes out there. I would never say that there aren't, but those ones, you know, really spoil it for the majority.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
It's such a shame, you know, because that is not what we are all about. That is not physical culture.
No.
Physical culture is to improve you, to empower you, to make you stronger, to make you a better version of yourself, not to rip you to shreds.
No.
And that's what they're promoting as being the norm, you know, and they take great pleasure in that. And it's like, wow, not for me.
Kelly, comment on that. Give us your thoughts.
Well, you know, I agree, especially with, you know, what your workout should leave you, you know, maybe like tired, but you shouldn't be leaving with beat up hands, injuries, having a fucking ambulance.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's something that's tapping into, it's a mental thing. So it's more mental than it is physical. And that's why the culture of CrossFit is so popular.
Yep.
I think taps into something where people are sort of disconnected from something in their life, or they haven't addressed something. So their way of processing it and dealing with it is to go out there and beat the shit out of themselves. And then like they get out and then so like somehow, you know, if they're working through something emotional and they're, you know, kicking their own ass, they think that they're processing what they're feeling.
Yep.
And I don't think that's happening. And I think, you know, she's absolutely right that there's probably a few boxes where, you know, really well and they focus on that person, they say, you know what, this isn't working for you, you know, we're going to work on this. Like, I think that's what's missing, and that's why people like the culture of CrossFit, is because it makes them feel something. You know, like,
uh-huh.
Like it, you and I and Kirsten, you know, like, it comes to us naturally, I think, yep. In a way. I just need that time, that Zen mode with my bell, with my sandbag. If I'm in movement, I'm happy. Pushing myself and seeing a number on a screen or something like that does not validate my purpose of why I'm moving.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think it has something to do emotionally of why that component is so strong and why people will fight through an injury or not mention that they're injured. They'll keep going to that box. They'll keep going back. It's not because they want that workout, I think, so much. I think it's because they're searching for something, and somehow that's fulfilling what they're searching.
No, I agree on that. Here's something I'm going to ask Kelly first. You know, we talk dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. What is it that is on your mind, whether it's long range, 3 months from now, tomorrow, that makes you want to just clear cut right through the woods and get it? What's on your mind right now?
What's on my mind right now is I really want to get back to some foundational stuff and just, like, you know, when you were talking about the sandbag stuff, the sandbox for the feet.
Yep.
I've been doing a lot. I prefer barefoot training, but I've been really focusing on feeling grounded, you know, like feeling my feet on, watching how my toes move, watch how my ankle mobility is and stuff like that. I think, you know, I turned 38 in a couple of months.
Yep.
And I feel like your 20s and 30s are like a warm up for what's to come. I mean, like, I think I'm just hitting my stride as a woman, as a female athlete. I haven't even begun yet, you know?
Yeah.
The only way that you could do that is if you are tuned in to what's going on with your body. So it's sort of me streamlining 3 months from now is learning from Paul, you know, learning other techniques that I've been working on and applying it more. You know, I went out to California. I learned a lot. You know, I'm going to learn a lot from Paul. I think it's coaches need coaches. And I think,
yep.
You know, I think that's what's missing is, you know, what I don't understand is watching somebody that I know who is in the business teach a kettlebell swing that's never even been certified
right
with a kettlebell. So I think, like, just kind of like continuing with the network of what, you know, Kirsten and I have some ideas and I just love chatting with her.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep going, learning, moving, connecting. That's it.
Well, and Kirsten, I'll get right to you. You know, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, like, my short-term vision for myself right now is, because I've been working with Paul Firepower Gray as well,
right.
So it's to develop my, you know, movement capabilities much, much better, so that when I go back to my strength work, I'm on a different level again. So that's kind of the direction that, for me personally, is where I'm heading right now with my own training. So getting my movement better, getting my body unlocked, and then going back into strength and taking it from there.
Yep.
For a professional standpoint, I want to create a network, you know, with people like Kelly and Jim and Paul and yourself,
yep.
You know, where we can reach out to and help so many people, because we're all based in different parts of the world, and we have the ability through, you know, technology now that we can reach people, that we can help people. And I really think that, you know, people like us need to kind of connect together,
mm-hmm.
to form this kind of club,
yep.
And so that we can spread the message of good training, sound training, solid technique to the masses, so that we are no longer just the minority.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to be accepted as the norm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
No, I agree, and I'll tell you, it's like when we were talking, that's why foundational, this show is a platform, and I mean, it's going to become a bigger platform because of what I'm seeing down the road, and I've talked to you, especially Kirsten, and a number of other people, that you know, everybody hates that word mainstream, but I'm going to say it because we are going to be mainstream. We're going to go out and we're going to be heard all over the place. Maybe you'll see a big billboard in Yankee Stadium with Motivation and Muscle on it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, vision, everybody knows that once things are the way they are, I'll be over in Scotland and Wales and Iceland going after all the famous stones with Stevie and Martin Janzicks and, you know, all these great people. I don't want to leave Charlie Oliphant out either. And the invitations they've given me. But, you know, we talk about things. I've talked about on shows how just how Martin said, clean press a 200-pound sandbag over your head, life changes right away. And that spurred a number of snowball effects with me that I've implemented and am doing and having a lot of success. But when we talked about sand dune and opening up those hips and that constant compression on not only your butt cheeks but your hip girdle and all that, when we got into that with John, and I talk about the iron boots on the winter circle, but I've implemented so many of these things with iron boots now, and they do the same thing. Feet, ankle, the swings alone with iron boots and doing the circular motion with those, you'll have ankles they'll look like tree trunks attached to your feet. All right. And the big thing about the iron boots, and the big thing with the iron boots especially, think about this, because if you're training from knee to toes, I do a ton of calf work because a lot of people neglect that, and that is very, very important, especially with stone lifting. But your shins never get really worked, so you have weak shins. How many runners, cyclists, lifters? The iron boots takes care of all that. So when you're running, you know, the two big things I've been hammering on are from kneecap to toe and from elbow to finger. Why? Because whether you're going to lift stones or lift your child or a bag of groceries, if you don't have the fingers, the hands, the wrists, the forearms, you need the whole arm, obviously, but if you don't have from the elbow down, it's going to really hurt your opportunities. You know, you girls like doing maces and kettlebells. Mm-hmm. Just think if what I'm doing right now, and you might already do some of it, you could take that and transfer that over to what you like to specialize in. You'd just be, when we say domination, you would be full domination. But Kelly, you can go first, comment on any of that, and then we'll go right to Kirsten.
Well, you know, when you're talking, I think what you were saying there is sort of like, I'll use an example that I noticed recently. You know, I took 7 weeks off when I broke a toe from kettlebell sport training, right, and I'm still new to the sport. But during that 7 weeks off, I really focused on my left arm because I have a tight teres major, and it was really affecting my lockout. And I would get a slight tidbit of, like, bicep tendonitis in my left side. Mm-hmm. So I addressed it with stick mobility drills, and I started doing a shit ton of, like, various carries, marches, stability work, arm bar, sandbag, a lot of sandbag work. And I picked up my bells for the first time the other day to sport lift. And yeah, I watched that video from a couple months ago to the other day. And it was incredible the difference that not only could I see on video, but how I felt.
Yep.
So it's sort of like what you're talking about with your stone, you know, stone lifting, and whether you're addressing your feet, shins, you know, ankle complex, or yep, you're focusing on your arm, maybe a little bit more of your forearm, elbow down.
Yep.
It really, those fine moments make a complete difference in your capability, mm-hmm, and your longevity.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, and I totally agree with that because, you know what it is? You know, you think, okay, you know, we'll do all the big weight movements or whatever you're into, and that's all going to transfer over, and it does to a point. But I know from experience, I know from talking to people, you can have the greatest deadlift in the world. It doesn't translate to a stone, and I'll tell you why. Because you go to Iceland to pick up that 418-pound Husafell and walk that 50 meters, if you don't have fingers that are like darts that can literally go right into that stone, you might lift it, But chances are you might take two steps and it's going to fall right out of your hands. Why? Because that structure of the hand and the fingers, the wrists, the forearms, especially you have to squeeze these things so hard that if it's not developed to its full potential, your success is going to be very limited with that. But that we'll get back to that. Kirsten, take it away.
Yeah, it's just been listening to what you and Kelly were saying there, and it's so true. You're only as strong as your weakest link.
Yep.
And this is stuff that you really only start to get to grips with as you get older in this game. You know, because when you're younger, you know, and you're just caught in the big things, you know, the things that look cool, you know, the squats, the deadlifts, the curls, you know, the rows, and you're not paying attention to all of these finer points. And people generally don't pay attention to these finer points until something goes wrong, until you get an injury or, you know, you go to a chiropractor or someone and they tell you that, oh, wait a minute, you're out of balance here. And then you're made aware of something. And then you have to really address your training and look at it carefully, not just an overview anymore. It has to be gone through with a fine tooth comb. And I was really lucky because I've known Donnie Thompson. Do you know Donnie, Eric?
I don't know him personally, but I know him through like Clint Darden and stuff. Yeah.
Oh God, he's brilliant. Yeah. I've known Donnie for what, 6 or 7 years, and I hosted him with my friends in Aberdeen. They have a gym there, so we were the first people to take him over to the UK for seminars, and so we hosted him for performance therapy. And one of his quotes that sticks in my head. He always says the ankles are the most important joint in the body.
Yep.
And he's developed all kinds of drills just to loosen and work on the ankles. And then I've got a good friendship with Donnie. So I went over to his place in South Carolina in 2016, I think it was. And I spent a week at his gym and I was doing work with his fat bells and stuff like that. And he'd started doing body tempering on the feet.
Right.
Now, for people that don't know what body tempering is, that's basically where you get steamrolled by big steel rods that can weigh up to 70 or 80 kilos.
Yep.
And it's to diffuse, it's muscle diffusion. So you're basically steamrollering tightness out of the body.
You're getting the fascia real hard with it.
You are. It's fascia release. And it's phenomenal. Anyway, he started doing it on the feet, and I saw him doing it to Danielle Curry. You know Danielle.
Yeah, she's been on before. Yep.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I was like, damn. So Danielle did it to me. So you're lying on your front, and she's got a hold of one of my feet, and she just takes this small steel bar, and she starts rolling my feet.
Yep.
And after she'd done it, and I stood up, and I was like, holy shit. And it's like you're walking on air.
Yeah.
Like, man. And at that time, you know, this was still very experimental for Donnie, and he said he was going to be getting, you know, like the top football players over there to be learning how to do this, to do it on a regular basis. Because at the end of the day, you want your feet to feel good, because if your feet feel good, the rest of you functions better.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, wow. And just the stuff that he does on these areas that so many people pay no attention to. You know, he's very much into the feet and the ankles, because he says if your feet and ankles are in good shape, your deadlift's going to be better, your squat's going to be better, everything's just going to be better.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I learned so much from him, and especially with regards to my hips as well. You know, I use his lower back protocol on a daily basis.
Yep.
That's where you're hanging upside down by huge bands.
Yep.
Simple stuff that doesn't take a long time in your day, but can really save your ass. You know, if you're finding you've got tight spots or your body isn't working the way you want it to work, just by implementing some of these very simple things, you'll find that all of a sudden your performance is better than it may ever have been. And that's what I found for myself. You know, when I started getting rolled, you know, as in body tempering, doing the lower back protocol, my deadlift at the time shot through the roof. Simple stuff, but it's addressing weaknesses in the body and making sure that they're no longer weaknesses, that you're attacking them head on, and you're not just being one of these people that, you know, goes and pops some ibuprofen and you know, and grunts on through it.
Well, you know what? I'd love to get
these things.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'd love to get both of you on the old school York Iron boots. I've got the original leg course, I'll tell you, Bob Hoffman was way ahead of his time. And, you know, as they say with athletes, and I know it's women too, the legs go, your career goes. And that was very big. You know, he gave examples of the famous boxers and Babe Ruth. They still had the will, still had the power, but they didn't have the legs anymore. And another thing that's very interesting, I don't know if either one of you tried it. I learned this from John Bruni a long time ago. And John was talking about Donnie the other day and the same thing with the piping and all that. And Chris Vaccio 2 days ago too. Go out and get a beer keg. And when you're done with your workout, get it under about the small of your back and start rolling it right up to just below your traps. Wait till you feel what your back will feel like after you do that. And it's phenomenal, the feeling, because just think, you're pushing your body weight right against that keg. And it's such a massager because it's rolling up and down on you. That's just one of the things I do. Kelly, comment on anything, please.
To Kirsten's point, I recently had a client this week who, she said for a while her knee hasn't been feeling right and she hasn't quite told me that. And I was like, well, you know, I think at this point she should address the issue. And she doesn't want to address the issue. And it made no sense to me because I was like, you know, if this continues, you're going to, you know, she's not young. She's in her, she's young, but she's in her late 50s. And, you know, like she's throwing off her hip line. She's throwing off the way that she walks. And she won't go get it looked at. And I was like, you know, if your iPhone's not working, you're going to the fucking Apple store. You know, like, your car, I know your Lexus. If that Lexus isn't working, you're going to go get it looked at. And I said to her, we had a conversation. Why is it that sometimes people ignore what's happening in their body? I don't get it. If something hasn't been feeling right for an extensive period of time and it's literally affecting the way that you are moving, it must be addressed.
Yep.
And you know, like, we can't parent our clients. You know, if you see somebody 1 or 2 hours a week, you do your best. You do your best to guide them. But no matter how hard you try, like, if they're not going to actively work on their body, there's only so much you could do for them. They have to be proactive and seek out, like, why is this not working? Why is my movement being impacted? You know, and it's just interesting to me that it's not an issue for a lot of people. And that's one of the reasons tied back into CrossFit and to all these other things that we were addressing earlier. There's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
There's a complete disconnect from your foundation if you're going to allow an issue in your body to go. But you'll go and fix your phone, you'll go and fix your car, but you won't address your own issue.
I agree, and I'll tell you this, and this might be something we get in or not get in. Kirsten will know exactly where I'm going in a moment. People don't get that connect. They have that disconnect where I think they feel the body will go on forever no matter what they do to it. And if you look at your body, it is marvelous. I don't care who you are. Especially you see people that are toting around 200 more pounds than they should be. I mean, and they're still able to do things. Maybe not very well, but they still can barely put one foot in front of the other. And I think this all relates back to your image, too. I mean, we got into this when Kirsten and I did the last show about men and women, men especially, but it's very prevalent in women because I know what Kirsten was telling me with clients and things of that nature. I think when you're operating very low, and I mean in a form of males, testosterone, high estrogens, high body fat, mostly through the midsection, you know, it looks like a 9-month belly, or it looks like multiple tires around, okay? And I get this from a lot of guys. I don't know if I said it on the last show, Kirsten, it was like, well, we talked about no balls, and that was my buddy Joey, who I'll tell you what, man. Well, I don't mean man, but I'll tell you what. What bothered me more than anything, I know what that guy still is. I know what he is, but I don't know why he did what he did and he went the way he went. And I know it's because of his wife. I know it has a lot to do with that. he's already been divorced three times, so you know what I mean? It's probably not going to go, number four probably ain't going to happen here, but whatever. But the point of the matter I see with more and more of these guys, especially, and we get in this all the time, but they're lost. I mean, you can see in a man or woman just in their eyes kind of where they're coming from. And when Kelly mentions, well, your phone or your Lexus, absolutely. I've seen it. I've been part of it. I've seen a guy like Joe who he's still my brother, even though not biologically. But believe me, even though he did everything to try to convince me that I was doing the wrong things and I should get my feet back on the ground and cut down to 175 pounds and just lift for the fun of it, I know damn well he didn't believe it. And I was kind of rude with him, of course, initially. And then I was saying to myself, you know what, man, this guy is hurting inside, and I'm not saying he'll ever come back to a 240-pounder. He probably won't, but I think at some time that gene pool in him that used to drive him like a maniac, you know, is going to come back. And that, but the thing is, when we're talking about all this stuff, I just think that a lot, you know, with food sources, mm-hmm. with, you know, non-committal people. You know, we talk about I am a winner, I am a champion. And I'm not an excuse guy for anybody, but I understand what's going on out there right now, and it is not healthy. And it starts soon as the school starts, on and on we go. How many kids do you know? Well, you can't do that. Why would you want to do it? Why do you want to hang around with this one? Why do you want to go out? You know, we had a big thing on killing male masculinity about a week and a half ago with Dr. Wong. I'm not going to say these groups because I am not going to give them press. There is an ongoing thing right now in the United States to go and kill all male masculine sports. Now, it's not the sport. It's just, let's make sure there aren't any men around that want to be masculine, that want to lead. And I'll tell you right now, and I mean, both of you are married, and I'm going to ask you both this question flat out, because I've gotten it from women who've been on the show lately that I feel are very independent. If they're not super successful, if we're going to measure it monetarily, they're damn well on their way. They know what they want to do. And we got talking about some of this offline because they mentioned a couple shows with Dr. Wong. And they said to me, point blank, and if you don't want to answer this, I understand. And the reason why they said to me they won't say it out in public is because they're going to get ridiculed about it. They said to me, nothing's better than having a male protector. You can, whoever wants to take it first without stepping on each other, if you don't want to comment or whatever, you can or can't. Take it, whoever wants to go first.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would absolutely, definitely agree with that. 100%. I think it's, you know, it's to go back to like what Dr. Wong had said in some of his interviews with you, it's in our gene pool.
Yeah.
It's the way we're made. You know, and obviously, you've got, you know, yes, you do have people who are gay who prefer the opposite.
Right, yeah, I got
gay.
It.
That's the way they are.
Yeah.
You know, but for those of us who are straight, yeah, you're attracted to men are attracted to women, and it's because we have these differences. You know, and women do have a sensitive side.
Yep.
Well, most of us do, anyway. You know, where it will be receptive to a guy who's masculine.
Yep.
And I would absolutely not be attracted to a guy who was, you know, and Kelly's probably the same as me, who was, you know, one of these pretty boys that has nothing masculine about him at all. You know, the whole Justin Bieber brigade.
The pajama boys.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
See if my daughter brings home someone like that, I'll show them the door.
You'll scare the shit out of them when they come to the door.
Yeah. You know, but it's, yeah. So I would fully say yes, absolutely. I agree with that sentiment.
So let me ask you this, Kirsten. I mean, obviously, we know you're very strong in the weight room. You know, I know just from talking to you enough verbally or back and forth typing. that obviously you have a very strong personality. So that doesn't insult you as a woman where a guy would like to hold the door or pull your chair out or tell you you look great tonight, or if something went down, whether you could handle it or not, he just beat the piss out of somebody to defend your honor. None of that would bother you as a woman.
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No, definitely not.
All right, Kelly, I'm going to put it to you now.
I'm still quite old-fashioned in that respect.
I like that. Yeah.
I really am.
Well, all right, Kelly, let's see. You can answer or not, and let's see.
Well, no, I agree, but I think there's ways where masculinity comes into different, you know, areas. Like, you know, my husband, it's funny because, like, if you met him,
yep,
you would never know that he has, like, 9 tattoos. He doesn't look like that kind
right,
of guy.
Right.
Probably, out of all the men that I've dated, he's probably the most, like, clean-cut, I guess, out of them all, you know?
Yeah.
But his masculinity is in his ability to really be a real partner. It's not based on, you know, like, his aesthetics or, you know, like, you know, is he overly masculine, like, bodybuilder or, you know, like, fit guy? No. But, like, he gets me and I get him,
you know, and
he supports all my crazy, which is very important to me. But, like, he is an amazing nurturer and just, you know, and it's not in a sappy.
No, I know. I got
stuff
you.
Like that.
Yeah.
So, like, his masculinity is, you know, I think there's just, it's just interesting. But then I'm a very independent woman and I'm very strong-minded and strong-willed and driven. So sometimes I block that without intentionally meaning to block him being that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because I just go in and I do. That's all I, you know. So it's interesting to hear, like, kind of both sides. You know, I would probably be the person just to open the damn door, you know?
Yeah, that's all right. I got no problem with that. If you want to pick the check up, that's cool, too. You know?
So it's just like, I think I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I would have to say I'm somewhere in between.
You know something I think, too, which is a big thing, is it's kind of, you know, let's just take it from a dating perspective, too. It's really kind of like who you're out with, too. I mean, you know, I've been out with people where it's like, it's almost like a 360 from what it was before. And, you know, that can go either good or not so good. And I said, like I said to Kirsten, I mean, there's certain people you click with. And I'm just talking from doing stuff. Like I said, if I met her, we'd probably burn the woods down. You know, I mean, what I'm saying is there's just people that you have this rapport with that it's almost like you knew them your whole life, even though it's the first time you've ever met them, you know, face to face. And that's kind of like how I see everything. But, you know, I still think that manners are real important. I think when you take somebody out, it's about them. You treat them like gold, you know, and you obviously converse back and forth. As like my mom and dad used to beat in my head, which I used to laugh when I was a kid, but when I did all the big IT IBM systems and, you know, you'd always have these goofs taking you out to a nice restaurant and, you know, they had hardly any personality or whatever. And I remember they'd always be saying to all of us, put your fork or put your napkin on your lap, take your fork and bring your food to your face, not shovel. You know something? You go to you go out to a nice restaurant with these people. Half of them don't know how to put a damn napkin on their lap because they're probably linen and they're never used linen. And then when you watch them eat, I'm like, son of a bitch, dad and mom were right. And you know what? And you know what the great, and you know something? People might say, hi, that doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you something. When you're out in public and you're dealing with people where it's money, it does matter. Because because if you guys met me and you were shoveling your food in your face and talking to me and spitting it on me, I'd be like, I'd be like, I'm not doing any business with you and I'm getting the hell out of Dodge quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's certain things that do matter, you know, and that's the way I look at, you know, everything now, who you're going to make your contacts with, who you're going to have long-lasting relationships, whether it's friendship, business, love, whatever it is. It's just not something I think that you jump into. You can, but chances are it might go with a negative connotation, and you might be doing, as they say, walking the wire out of there, you know? But that's it. But I want to, you know, we're getting near time, and I want to ask you one thing, though, both of you. I mean, obviously, this is something when we talk about domination and obliteration and all that. You know, we talked about the disconnect, and you know, we've all talked about there's so many things out there health-wise, especially with a lot of kids suffering the way they've been brought up, poor example, poor nutrition, not getting off the couch, et cetera, et cetera. I'll start with you, Kelly. What would you like to do right now if we could rewind? No, if we could go forward 10 years, what would you like to see using the connotation, the line of dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path with, we'll start right from the kids, middle age, even older people, because we know we've seen this happen where you get somebody like yourself or Kirsten or myself that really knows how to talk to people, knows how to encourage people. As my dad said, you know, you lead by example. And I know a lot of these things you'll hear all over, and these are the clowns anyways. None of that stuff matters. It does matter if you really take an interest in somebody and you want them to progress and take an interest in yourself, in themselves. So where would you like to be? Let's just say 5 years from now with what we're talking about, with clients and the whole physical culture and everything. I know that's a big jump, but what's on your mind? Tell me what you would do.
When you were saying starting with the kids, you know, I in my mind, I went back to, like, let's bring back the fucking 80s, man. You know, during the 80s, you had a little bit of technology.
Yep.
Right? You were getting by. We had some technology. And things were good, and we still had to, like, work for stuff. We had to go find stuff. We had to go track it down.
Yep.
You know, like, I and then all of a sudden, you know, within 20 years, it's completely changed. And look how, in many ways, we've progressed, but we've degressed immensely.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. And all you're, to your point, you're correct. All you have to do is look at the kids.
Yeah.
And then follow that line, you know, of their extended family. And it's like, how the fuck did we get here?
Yep.
Well, you know, like, so a 5-year plan, fucking dial back some of the technology. I mean, it's fantastic. That's how you and I have connected. It's great. But, like, when we're talking with our kids, when you go out to dinner, there shouldn't be fucking every
phone.
Kid with a phone in their hand,
yeah.
or a headset on. Let's get back to communicating. Let's get back to moving and going back outside, for God's sakes. I mean, like, I grew up in a neighborhood where it was 4 cul-de-sacs. We didn't even come home until it was, like, time for dinner or after that. You know, we'd go right back out.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where the hell we were. There was no tracking device. There was no cell phone. And it carries off into the same pattern of, like, bringing back this food. And, you know, in the 80s, that's when, you know, Kirsten and I were kids, and we were exposed to a bunch of additives, the low-fat diet, and that wrecked everybody. Once people started taking out real food and adding shit in, look where it's gotten us.
Yep.
So it's and we're educated. What cracks me up in the 5-year plan that you're mentioning is we have all of that at our fingertips right now, the knowledge of why we got here and what to do about it. But it's like at a turtle space, you know, it's not happening. Why aren't we, like, correcting this issue? It's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening. So, it's scary.
You know what I think? It's like everything we talked about, physical culture today and video and all that. I think things have gotten so simple. And when I was out today doing some shopping for food, I'm not exaggerating. I think I was the only place in the building that didn't have a phone in my hand. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, what do you got to carry that phone? What are you, a brain surgeon? They got to get a hold of you every, you know, 10 minutes. And, you know, you wonder why we've got what we've got right now. And you hit it right on the head because there we go again, talking about disconnect. And has technology made things easier? In some aspects it has, but it's really killed the pond, so to speak, where where people are becoming so dependent on this stuff they can't even think anymore. And I know we live in more and more of a drone robot world, and I think a lot of people want that. I figure like this. There's got to be a place for all of us to go and start all new colonies of people. Because I'm telling you right now. I'm, right? Well, I don't know where we're going, but you know what I mean? But when I say that at times, you know, you feel, you know, there's this one girl I know, I used to date. She used to call me an alien all the time. And she said, "You're an alien." I was like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You can't really peg you on anything, and you just go about whatever you want to do. If you meet somebody, you'll go talk to them, or if they come and do that. It's nothing that was ever purposeful, but I felt the need where I'm just one of those guys that doesn't like to sit still for too long. And if there's somebody comes in or somebody comes over here, or, you know, the big joke is, like, if our family has a big party or we go to something, there'll always be a lot of people there. And my mom will say to me, "Do you know those people?" And I was like, "No, I never met them before in my life." And she's like, "You got a conversation with them like they're your best friends." I don't care about that kind of stuff. It's like, I'm very lucky that I've never been afraid to approach guys, girls, anything. A lot of people have a hard time with that. I am very blessed. I know that I can do things like this, and I can talk to people and make them feel comfortable, and hopefully we can learn from each other. If not, nice meeting you, blah, 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 blah. But I think when we get to that point, you know, like we're talking 5 years from now, I assume that your life, my life, and Kirsten's life is going to be much, much better on every scale. And I hope at that point that we have made such a mark on people that the sixth year, we're like, "Holy cow, man, look at what has happened." And that's my greatest wish of all, because we are offering solutions to people that... That's, you know, we were talking all about that with niches and all that. Yeah. It's like one thing I've learned, and this is people telling me, that with Eminem, it's like Clint Darden says this to me all the time. "Your show's got so many different genres of people involved in it." He goes, "I can't say you're a show about powerlifting, or you're a show about stone lifting, or you're a show about kettlebells," because he said, "Every time I think I got you pegged," and he goes, "I can't peg you as a lifter either, because you're doing this, that, the other thing, and you're building on this, and you're building on that." And he said, "I think that was, I think that's the unique thing that you bring to the fitness industry now that isn't out there, but it's not about me." Kirsten, where are we looking with you in 5 years? Where are we going?
In 5 years, I mean, I think, you know, I really liked what Kelly said there about, you know, if we could rewind to the 80s.
I agree.
What really
yep.
needs to happen in the schools. I don't think I could put it any better. I think she did it absolutely perfectly, because that's definitely what is needed, especially with, you know, with the young people. We need to rewind things. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know about in the United States, but in this country, you know, physical education is piss poor. It's really, really bad. And they're just not doing anything with these kids now. And in this country, when children get to secondary school, meaning like age 13 and up, when they get to a certain age, they can choose to drop physical education altogether.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, seriously. It's like, now what kind of message are you sending to these young people? You're basically telling them, you know, physical education or looking after your body doesn't matter. You know, you can take it or leave it. And that's shocking. That should not be. So with regards to, you know, how children are educated, I think that really needs to change. But with regards to what I and we can do, you know, I think all we can do is keep on doing what we are doing and keep our presence felt and keep our message going out there. And then bit by bit, the more content that we put out, other people like us are going to step forward, because like attracts like.
Yep.
I very much believe that. And I very much believe that more people like us are going to step forward because of what we're doing. And ultimately, what we are doing is going to be perceived as the norm.
No, I agree.
So that's what I want to see. I want to see in physical culture people embracing more movement-based workouts, you know, whether that be at the very beginning stages of their, you know, workout journey to instead movement and to get in touch with the body that they have. And then from there, they're building, you know, they're building on that solid foundation with fundamental, you know, weightlifting moves. You know, it needs to be done in a particular order. And I think that's very, very, very important. There's too many people right now doing things out of sync, doing things completely out of order. They're building, you know, houses on sand.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And and it's and that's where so many injuries are coming from. So I think if the whole industry gets an overhaul, you know, we start taking the movement and the mobility part a lot more seriously, the prehabilitation, the rehabilitation work, performance therapy work, you know, taking care of your body, doing your recovery work. It's not just the lifting that you do. It's the stuff that you do when you're not in the gym.
Yep.
That whole thing, that really, really matters. And I see that happening more and more on social media now. So in my mind, I see the way this is going. And I think in 5 years, we're going to see a very positive change in how people are working out. The cookie cutter gyms will always be there, but I think on the whole, more good coaches stepping forward is going to raise the bar, and it's going to make sure that more people work out the way they should be working out for longevity.
Well, I think also too, not to interrupt you, I think that we're going to have to, if we're going to really get after this, I mean, hard, not only through what we do privately through M&M. My feeling is we're probably going to have to eventually go out and recruit these kids. I don't think now, if they are not stable at home, if they're kind of wandering around, getting into kind of scrapes, whether it's in the neighborhoods with the law, whatever. You know, I've talked a million times, if I ever was going to set up a school, and I think you and I did, they would learn how not only to be physically and mentally and spiritually correct, they would learn how to manage money, and they would obviously be educated on history and anything. Right now, here's the thing. This is going to take a long time to rewind. I mean, we're doing sufficient hits right now with the show and everybody on here, but you got to remember, you know, the 80s, okay, and then things started getting more convoluted with technology, you know, and everywhere you go, what do you hear? I mean, when do you see even a commercial during Christmas that says, hey, let's get in shape, you know, and we're going to use this, that, and the other thing? Not, it might be some cheesy gym where they never talk down to you like they say and give you pizza and donuts, but you and I know we're not going to a place like that. So what I'm saying is we need someone and some ones with a group of presence, such presence, where it's going to introduce what we love to do and interest both, I'm just going to say, young boys, young girls, middle, young men, young women, and right through the genre. I don't care if you're 100 years old, that look, you want to still do things like this. You want to be a part of this. And the thing that's the most beautiful thing, I think, about physical culture, when you've got that stuff straight, your outside life improves. And that's a thing that I don't think's ever been harped on enough, and I constantly say it because you can't have one without the other. When you're feeling great, when you're thinking great, you know what? I mean, you know, I see Kelly say every day or what, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, you just feel good as hell. Even when you have an off day, same way with Kirsten, you know, come over and, you know, what's going on? You know, like that. It does matter, and it does, it's a big piece that happens with this. So I'll wind my end up with that. And Kelly, I want, you know, you guys can comment on anything, but I'm going to ask you this one question, and then you can comment on whatever you want, Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ask you this question. I'm gonna hopefully get the answer I'm figuring. I'll ask you first, Kelly. Is manhood dead?
Oh, manhood dead. I don't know if it's completely dead. I think it ties into what we were addressing with society.
Yep.
I think it's watered down and diluted. I think in regards to technology and everything is at our fingertips and everybody wants it right now, I think that affects the way that we all behave, whether we're male or female.
Okay.
You know, I think that the bottom line of having to go and struggle, like, you know, and fail and
yep.
things take time. I agree in that aspect. I think that and I look at my son who's only 7
yep.
and his life is drastically different than mine. And
yeah.
I could see how he reacts to outside stimulus that could be just, you know, like throws off his game. And I see, and I'm very intuitive, especially being on my own at such a young age and getting
sure.
a lot of responsibility at a young age.
Yep.
And I see a difference in him and I'm like, oh my God. And I see a difference in my clients who's, you know, kids are in their 20s. It's like they're set back. So I think there's been a lot of setbacks because people don't want to have to struggle or work hard for something anymore, or things take time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yep.
You know, so I think that it will, no matter what, it'll affect the way that a man behaves.
Okay.
So in a way, to a degree, absolutely.
Summarize anything you want to, and then we'll go to Kirsten, please.
To summarize, you know, like I've said to Kirsten the other day, you know, I'm really appreciative of the friendship that I've forged with her and numerous other people like yourself.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Eric, for, you know, having us on and allowing us to kind of chat and share what our message is. And what's so awesome about your show is it's not, like, self-driven. You know,
right.
it drives itself
yep.
because it's so authentic and it's so organic.
Thank you.
So that's something that is really lacking because we're exposed to so much like commercialized stuff. So thank you for being who you are and the support group that you've created. It's fucking awesome.
Thanks.
You know, I really appreciate your hard work and my girl here. I'm like, I can't wait to meet you one day in person.
And it's an honor to have you on, and I really appreciate the kind words. Also, give out any way people can get a hold of you. And then, Kirsten, you got the floor, my friend.
Again, KelsBells88 on Instagram, Kelly Manzoni on Facebook, and then KMMoves.com is my business website, and there's also an email off of there to reach me at.
Okay.
So that's it.
I'll tell you both this, and then Kirsten, it's all yours. And then when you're done, I'll give my stuff out and just hang on to both of you, if you would, please. I'd rather wrap my arms around a nice-looking girl than carry a cell phone in my hand, and I'll leave it at that. Kirsten, take it.
Okay. You asked Kelly, is mine... Who dead? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and then summarize, and then we'll.
Okay,
go ahead.
Is manhood dead?
Yeah.
Well, no, you're still breathing, Eric.
Thanks.
So there's still hope. You know, we could clone you. If there's still guys like you, there's still hope for humanity.
Thank you.
So it's you need to look at it like that. And you know, on the whole, yes. You know, we don't have as many men as we used to, and it's quite sad. But, you know, we are now aware.
Yep.
And, you know, people like yourself and myself, when we talk about these things,
yep.
you know, on your show, and other people are discussing it off the back of what they're hearing us talking about, people are becoming more aware of this issue, and they're starting to look into it.
Yep.
Now, okay, not every single guy with, you know, low test levels is all of a sudden going to hear it and go and get himself checked.
Right.
But if some do, that's a start.
Yep.
And, you know, so awareness is a powerful thing. So I think that, you know, there aren't as many men out there as there should be, but thank God there still are some.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So those ones will just keep driving forward.
Well, you know, if we got to dig them up out of the grave, I guess we'll have to inject them full of growth hormone and testosterone and bring them back. You know something? I think, too, and I want to get right back to you. I think the call we're making is, and I've said this before, I think a lot of people have the wrong idea of manliness. And manliness, when you're strong, I don't care. I've said this before. People say to me, well, not everybody wants to do the stones and all. I said, I'm not asking you to do that. I don't care. What I'm saying is be an example for your sons and daughters. Be an example for your wife. You know, and I say this all the time about women. I said, stand behind your husband. You know, don't waver and don't cave into what other people are saying. Because I can remember, you know, in that last job in IT, I heard if it wasn't the guys, it was the women. And this is like 8:10 in the morning. Oh, my husband's an asshole. My wife's in it. How do you live like that, man? I could never live like. So I'm not going to. We could do the whole other show on that. But go ahead. Anything else you want to add? Summarize. Give out your info. I'll give mine, and if you two would just hang on the line, we'll be done for the day.
Cool. Well, no, I think to go back to what we originally spoke about, you know, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I think it's something that people need to, you know, kind of take to heart, you know, really try and dominate in whatever it is that you're doing within physical culture. It doesn't matter if it's just simple movement or mobility, or whether you're a stone lifter or a bodybuilder or a powerlifter. You know, really aim to excel, to do yourself proud, do yourself justice at whatever you do. And that's a great sentiment to live by, because when you live by that in your training, it resonates and carries over to other areas of your life.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've said that forever, and I'll keep saying it until the day they put me in a box in the ground. You know, it represents the rest of your life. If you can take care of this one thing, it always carries over.
Yeah.
For me, you know, people can get hold of me through Facebook. You know, so just look for Kirsten Tulloch or Little Tank on Facebook, Little Tank on Instagram, YouTube. Kirsten Tulloch or Little Tank again, but Facebook is my preferred medium, and I'm very easily contactable through there. Yes, this is Little Tank signing off, guys, and it's been a blast.
Okay.
Sure has.
Well, I'll give my stuff out and just hang on, but one thing, I thought you and I were going to ride side by side with swords and kill everybody.
I'll ride side by side with you any day, Eric.
I know, same here, and we already know you're not going to be in the ground. If we get killed, we're just going to be fly meat. That's the end of it. You know what I mean? This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Download the Winner's Circle. As I said, there's 12 modules. You buy the product, you get up and go and do it, take action. You'll get the 13th one free, and as you all know, we have our 8 for 8 on there, and Kirsten was kind enough to give an hour of her time, so you're listening to one of the actual people that are on it, like all of them, and one of the ones we will have on next Saturday, we'll have my good friend Martin Janzik on, so stay tuned for all that. Also, contributions. Anything you would like to give to us, you can go out to my PayPal account at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, or you can invest $25, $50, or $100 in us. And as you can hear, we don't fool around. We don't pull any punches. And anything I put up or put out, I do, am doing, or have done, and it'll always be there one way or the other. So it's not going to be one of those 90-day courses you pay $500 for, and in 90 days, if you make it that long, you'll be lucky when you call that number or that website, it'll all be disconnected. So we don't mess around with that stuff. It's very important to put out good products and be around, and we plan at least another 30 here. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. You can go out. You can get the introduction podcast I did with Kelly. And as I said, I believe this is probably the fourth one I've done with Kirsten, whether it was the two of us or with Paul or Kelly. So there, you know, we're building the library up, and they'll be back for sure. And we'll just keep going and going. Also, too, go out to Apple and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We thank everybody. You can go out to Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. If you'd like Kelly and Kirsten to come back on with us, and we'll have them on again. If there's a show you'd like the three of us to do, send it to me, and I'll forward it to them, and we'll see what we can do for you. Also, too, I'll leave you with a number of things here. Well, before I do that, aha, anybody that has a new car has capability of getting podcasting on the radio. Go out to AHA and dial up Motivation Muscle 24/7. You'll have us streaming in your car 24 hours a day. Now, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration that will change your life forever. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, push it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red here, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls, and as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, who's been a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. There's plenty of that today, and there will be more, because as I said, the other day it seemed like Mount St. Helens blew, and there is like a testosterone field for miles, and that's what it's about, folks. Also, Frank Klein, my greatest college business professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor and confidant for years. He was like the conciliary of the mafia, man. Awesome guy. Died almost 3 years of cancer. I don't know if I could have done every Friday like we used to go over and get worked on and talk about life and everything. But I'll tell you what. That's somebody that I wish I could have introduced him to the family here. What a guy. And he'd walk everybody to the door, no matter how busy it was, and tell them to keep smiling. I dare you to not sit to say that to yourself and not smile. There's been many days that I kept saying keep smiling that kept me going when everything was unraveling, believe me. And I know John is around me all the time, just like my dad and Frank. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more friends we're coming. We're not going to kick on your door and put it through. We're going to blow the roof off your house. As I said, join the family. Join the revolution. As the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness. We take it 2 steps further and say, we got your back and we believe in you. And I don't know many people in today's world that would ever say something like that. Kelly Manzone, thank you. It's an honor to have you on, and we will get you on again.
Thanks again, Eric.
You are welcome. Kirsten Tulick, Little Tank, it's always an honor to have you on. I really enjoy our conversations on and offline, believe me. Thank
it's
you. For,
always fun.
Yeah.
Always
fun. As I said, we'd burn the forest down. That'd be my if I ever had a fear, that would be it. But I'm gonna say goodbye to both ladies here, but they'll stay on with me momentarily. For Kelly Manzone and Kirsten Tulick, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for being on. But before I sign off here, I say this on every show. I'm gonna direct it to the men. If you don't have a set of balls, fellas, it's time to grow them. Brass balls are needed. Be part of the family here, and believe me, the women are all welcome too. I know you don't have balls, but you know what? Just support one another. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you soon, and have a great weekend.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.